that want to do notes, I'm going to simplify it for you, and I wrote everything down on the board. So you've got, we're just going to reference page numbers. I got the first class up there, and then we'll kind of talk about this rest of the stuff. So the next one, we covered as short as we could and as fast as we could. We did the perfect teacher and the perfect example. Now we're going to do the perfect, that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Okay? So what's a sacrifice? Somebody tell me.
When you, somebody has to, get killed for, a reason.
That's an act of sacrifice, yep.
They don't have somebody or something.
Yep. Are you going to say something for Saul? No? So a sacrifice is just surrendering something or giving up something, abandoning something that is valuable to you to be able to turn around and use it for somebody else. Is a good way to think about it. So something that you, it's not like I'm going to take this pen and I have no value and I'm going to give it away. That's not a sacrifice because that pen has no value to me. I don't care about that pen. So it's something that holds value to you. Okay? So you guys, anybody play baseball, softball?
Oh, yeah.
Right? What is a bunt normally supposed to do?
It's supposed to sacrifice the runner.
Right. So now you got your what? Because by sacrificing the runner, you did what? You sacrificed yourself, but you did what?
You advanced the runner.
Right. There was benefit there to it. So one sacrifices, but the whole team gets the reward out of it. So first Bible verse we're going to go to is Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 2, and that's page 1271. 1271. Verse 5, or chapter 5, so the big whole 5. Okay, so therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. So what did Jesus sacrifice? It just says, the Bible just says that Jesus sacrificed. What did he sacrifice?
Life.
Right? So we're going to look at those. We're going to look at a few of the things that Jesus sacrificed. What was the whole point? I told you we're going to beat a dead horse. What was the whole point of the sacrifice?
So the other people don't have.
For Jesus to bridge the gap, right? That was the only way that the gap could be bridged between us and God, is Jesus. Okay, just like Keaton's drawing you drew with the valley and then it had the cross in it. That was the sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice to allow us to have eternity in heaven. So, number one I want to look at is that Jesus left heaven. What do you think of when you think of heaven? Sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, however you play a harp. I don't even know how to play a harp. Whatever you do. What do you think of? What do you think of? You say God, that's where God lives. Okay, great. What is it? We're not going to be able to go through all of them. But in Revelation, did I give you that number? Revelation, so go to page 1398, Revelation 21:9 is where we're going to start. And I'm just going to, we're not going to have time to read them all, but I'm just going to go through a few. This is where it's good, like you guys have got your pens, to be writing this stuff down or even taking your Bible and kind of draw a box or something around Revelation 21:9 through Revelation 22, verse 5. Kind of draw a box around that and just put, write description of heaven or something like that. As close as we can get to the description of heaven. So, I'm just going to blow through a few of these things here. Palladium was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as a crystal. Its length, width, and height are equal at 12,000, your Bible says, Sadea, which is 1,400 miles. So, Doug, how far is it to Montana from here?
About 1,450.
1,400 miles. So, you put Iowa and Montana, you can all visualize a map of the United States. So, take that, the length, the height, the width. It's measured. It's all out. How many days did it take you to drive there?
28. 2 days.
Two solid days of driving with Doug driving 80, 90 mile an hour. Right? So think about when you go on a walk. You know, you go on a walk through a town and you go block by block to block, or how long it takes you to run a mile or walk a mile. So talking a big space. So the building material of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the city were adorned with every kind of precious stone, and it lists out all these beautiful different types of stones and jewels. And then you jump over to verse 21, the broad street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Verse 23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. Why? Because that's God's house, God's light, the radiance of God. God's glory illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Verse 25, it'll never be night there. Verse 27, nothing profane will ever enter it. Why can nothing profane ever enter? You have no sickness. You mean cancer? You mean the flu bugs? Nothing. No more cancer. No more injuries. No more sickness. You have profane. You have divorce. You have parents that don't like each other, that ain't getting along. You have bullies. Do you guys deal with bullies different at schools today than what we did? You have bullies that are always picking, always just nagging at you night and day. They won't leave you alone. You got the social media stuff now with the phones. All that negative stuff. That can't be in heaven. Because God is pure, just like the white stripes. God is pure. God cannot have any part of that. Therefore, that was why Jesus was the sacrifice to bridge the gap between the two. Because God is pure, we're not, so we can't be part of it. So that's why Jesus died on the cross, was to bridge that gap.
So there's no TV in heaven?
Never know, there might be. That's the thing about God knows you better than you know yourself. If you want to be a couch potato, I'm sure he's going to have a nice big TV for you. But I don't know. So anyway, that's kind of a picture of heaven. Nobody, obviously, John had a vision of what heaven was like, but we don't have a description. We haven't been there. We can't look around and see and be able to do this. The other thing that you do is we look at Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, page 746, says that God's ways are not man's ways. There's things that we cannot comprehend that God has set aside. That's where Paul talks about childlike faith. And that's when you even go anything that God says, starting with salvation all the way through the Bible, you're supposed to just hold on to it like a child. When I tell one of my little girls, wherever they are, Lily, go ahead and go play out on that deck, you're not going to fall off that deck. She trusts me because why does she know any different? That's childlike faith. She doesn't know any better. She's never fell off a deck to stand out there and look and say, the last time I was on a deck, I fell off. She doesn't know that. So that's your childlike faith. That's how we're supposed to, our minds are supposed to look at the Bible, but Satan doesn't want us to look at it that way because we're so distracted with everything else that goes through the day that, well, this person, Micah, always tells me lies, so I can't trust him, so why would I trust what the Bible says? That's how Satan, that deception that Satan uses. So, the other one we're going to look at is that he became a human. Jesus left heaven. And we just talked a little bit about, like I said, we can't even comprehend what heaven is. Jesus left that perfect, pure environment with none of the bullcrap that we deal with every day to become a human. Not only a human, when you look at somebody that's mature in their age and their knowledge and their wisdom, but they became a baby. Right from the beginning, a baby. So here you are, you go from creating the whole universe and living in the best place that there could ever be, that you could ever imagine. Where's Red? Boy, deer's feeding him. Because why? He can't do it himself. He can't take care of himself. So you go from creating everything and seeing everything and all knowledge and all this to complete helplessness. If Deuter doesn't feed Ray or take care of Ray, what's going to happen to him?
He could die.
because he can't do it on himself. So Jesus left that and come down to be human. A verse for that is Matthew chapter 1, 18, verse 18 through 23. If you want to write it down, look it up. When we're done, you can do that. But it just goes through, you've all probably been through that with Christmas and everything, with the birth of Jesus. So, the other one that we want to look at is that Jesus, did he surround himself with good people? Jesus surrounded himself with problems and issues and put himself in the position of all the bad things. So there again, the purity of heaven is where we're always going to look at what he left. Now he's growing up as a baby. He's living his life. And examples we can look at are Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. And that's page 1099. You there? Verse 1 and 2. So the big 15. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees, which were the good people, see my quotes? The good people were the Pharisees. Verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. So find 15. So all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So, all the good, snobby, nose-up-in-the-air people that knew all the stuff about the Bible, and they thought they knew when Jesus was coming to be their Messiah, and they knew all the Bible, you had to go, if you wanted to know anything about the Bible, you couldn't find it out yourself, you had to go talk to them, and they'd tell you. So they knew it all, right? And here they see Jesus saying, well, he's eating with all the sinners and hanging out with them. That gives us an example of, if those guys are calling him out on it, because they wanted to pick everything apart about Jesus, because they didn't like him, because he was teaching better than what they were teaching. So if somebody does something better than you, our old sin nature wants to do what? We want to make ourselves as equal or better than what they're teaching. So here they are arguing about it and stuff and saying he's hanging out with sinners, blah, blah, blah. So he puts himself in that position. The other one, we'll go to Luke. We're already there, so flip to 10, 88, flip backwards, 734. You ready? So verse 34 says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" So there again, tax collectors were not good people. They're calling him out on that, but he's hanging out with them. A big one is the cross. You got the cross. You got two others. Right? So Jesus lived his whole life around these people. The woman at the well. I got that. The woman in the well is John, which is too long to go through, but chapter 4, verse 1 through 42. So Jesus lived his whole life like that. Living, working around, helping these people. And then when he's humiliated at his worst, there he is on the cross, and guess who he's surrounded with? On either side of him, says there's two criminals, there's two other people. That is a picture of what we need to be doing. Jesus, we just went through, he's our teacher, he's our example. I'm not saying to surround yourself and take up the lifestyle of the people that are doing the things that they shouldn't be doing. Because I can say from example that that is very easy to fall into then the lifestyle that they're living. You're thinking that you're going to do good. You're thinking that, you know, I can sit on this bar stool day after day with this drunkard over here and keep preaching him, but I want him to be able to listen to me, so I got to keep drinking too. Well, pretty soon, guess who's the next drunkard sitting on the bar stool not being knowing what's going on. You know? So, but you need to open your eyes and be able to visualize and see the people that are in need. So, and we're going to break all these down here in a minute. So, left heaven, became a human, surrounded himself with problems. He didn't just say, I'm Jesus, I created the universe, put me on a mansion on a hill, and everybody can know that's where I'm at, I'm going to hide there and hang out all the time. He put himself in the battle. Okay? I've heard Doug say before that if stuff gets crazy, God doesn't want us to go sit up in the mountains and sit in the hill and be by ourselves. Like, you got all these people that are rationing all this stuff and they're bulking all this, what are they prepping all this stuff? So they can what? Be by themselves. If something happens, God didn't design you to sit up there and be by yourself. God designed us to be down doing His work, telling everybody, hey, this is the good news. This is the word of Jesus. So He surrounded Himself. He put Himself in those positions. His body. Okay? We all know of the crucifixion. Keaton, you want to throw up those pictures quick? I won't get graphic on things, but I'm going to jog your mind. It's right before lunch, so we're not going to get hot and heavy into it, but I'm going to do enough to say that the sacrifice, when He sacrificed His body, that it wasn't the picture that 99% of things portray of this clean guy hanging on a cross. That's not a very good depiction of things. So there's going to be a few pictures up there. When He was scourged, when He was flogged, and put on, and it says that He was whipped. A lot of us think of like a whip, like we're whipping cattle or whipping horses or whatever they're doing, right? That's not what it was. It's stuff like this that is meant to take the flesh off the bone. Right? To be gone. That was the whole point of it. The whole point of it wasn't just to give you a few lashes and say, hey, you're all is well. It's meant to destroy your body. So Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 37, it goes through and it lists out that whole process of what the Roman guards did to Jesus. So write Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through 37 down. And it's going to walk you through that process of what it all was. The Romans had all kinds of time to perfect this, the way that they did it. Okay? So through this whole process, here we are talking about Jesus, who there again, left heaven, the perfect environment, come down as a baby, lived His whole life, hanging out with people that weren't the high-class society, and now they're tying Him up. They're leading Him away. How do you guys like it when somebody mocks you and says, you're not Allison. That ain't your name. And they hound you, and they hound you, and they hound you, and try to tell you something different. You're not Stormy. This ain't who you are. This isn't the character of who you are. Do you know what your character is? Garrett was talking a little bit about integrity yesterday. Or I think that was yesterday. It's who you are. It's what you stand for. It's when somebody is walking down the street and they say, hey, you know Garrett Albers? And Garrett's not there. His character is going to be represented by what that guy says. So here is Jesus, knowing that He left heaven. He created it all. He knows it. He knows that He left. And He has all these people telling Him that He's not the King. That He's not the Savior. That He's not the Messiah. So He's got that constantly coming at Him, right? So here He is getting tied up. He's getting led astray down. He's getting pulled down the streets. This flogging, taking the flesh off of His bones. He's got skin hanging there. What are the bugs doing to you today? Yesterday when it's hot out. We got skin covering our bodies. Okay? So, you got the bugs. You got all these different tools that are meant to rip it off. And then you got all the verbal abuse. Okay? And then, when that's over, when the flogging would typically kill you, here's Jesus, still alive. So then he's got a cross. A cross, as the history kind of says, in the when you look at kind of just some different facts and stuff about the Roman. See, the Romans didn't just crucify Jesus. As you know, there was the two other criminals. That was their way of... Today we have the death penalty, which nobody hardly uses anymore. But that's their way. If you did something, that's a tap. So this is all wrote down in history on the different... the facts of how they do things, what they do. The cross could weigh up to 300 pounds. So more than likely, when Jesus was going down, a lot of them having Jesus pulling the cross down the road and all this. More than likely, he was tied kind of like a... what do you call that? A yoke almost? With a big bar that could weigh up to 125, 130 pounds on his back like this. So imagine, you just got done getting hit with that. And now, take a beam and go like this. Strap it to your body and start walking. Who had to walk up the hill from the lake? Well, Golgotha was up on a hill. It wasn't downhill. So here you are going up the hill, right? So, little kids can run around, no clothes on, no whatever. They're innocent, right? They don't think, they don't care if they got a big fat belly or butt hanging out or whatever, right? Because they're just little kids. So then, your Creator, your Savior, looking like that, hanging on the cross with no clothes on. How is that for humiliation? Okay? So he sacrificed his body for you. His life. Flip to page 1142. John 15, verses 13 through 14. One of you girls said this already when we said sacrifice. You there? No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. He sacrificed his life. You look at the military pictures, the videos, the stuff like that. That's what them guys are doing. They're laying down their life. Your Creator, your Savior... stepped aside and did that for you. Okay? So, Doug asks, how can you imitate somebody if you don't know who they are? You can't, right? So what can we take from heaven? What do we want to learn from this? What Jesus sacrificed for us? That when you say it's too hot outside, it's too buggy, it's too cold, I wish it wouldn't rain, I wish it would rain. You complain, you whine. Heaven is pure. Heaven is perfect. You should be excited to go to heaven. That's why I said heaven's not sitting on a cloud playing a harp, because if it is, I don't want to go there. I know why. Okay? Became a human. Why did God create you? Glorify Him. Right? You're in John. You're in 15, go back to chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. What page? I got to find it. So, 1119, 1119. 12. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God. You have the right to be called children of God. Doug's talked all about the earthly fathers, the examples of being a good father. If you have a good father, doesn't it feel kind of good and honorable to be able to say, I'm proud of that when somebody says, that's my dad? We all have that.
Just hold up.
We all have that right. So if you come from a crap home, or you have a dad that you don't like, or you have a dad that treated you like crap, or your dad's gone, whatever it may be, you got a bigger one anyway. And you have one that's going to last forever, not just for this short time here on earth. So, heaven, we got a good picture of heaven. That's something we should strive for. That's something that we should look forward to. We should want to go to heaven. Became a human. We look at that. Surrounded himself with issues and problems. What can we take from that? I take from that to put yourself in unique positions. Put yourself into the position of where you're going to have a chance to glorify God. Where you're going to have the chance to tell somebody about Him. Where you're going to have the chance to tell or to show. You're not even going to have to, 99% of the time, you're not going to have to open your mouth and say anything about Jesus being the sacrifice. It's going to be by your actions. Hey, pay attention or go sit over there. One or two. Okay? That is what you're put here to do. That is why God left you here. I said that earlier, that you become a follower of Jesus and God doesn't take you out of here. God has so many rewards. If you want to do a cool Bible study, just start looking up rewards and things that God has for us when we're done. If we're supposed to give all this glory to God, how cool would it be to be able to have this huge treasure chest of rewards when you get there? And if you want to glorify Him, what's the best way going to be to do that? Are you going to want to keep all that stuff for yourself? Or are you going to want to be able to lay it down at His feet? Putting yourself in unique positions is going to give you the opportunity to reap the benefits of those rewards. So be aware. Be looking. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, how do you want to use me this morning? How do you want to use me today? You'll be amazed if you pray that. If you pray that and you ask God to open your eyes and to show you the people that need you or to put you in a position to glorify Him. Don't do it for yourself, but to do it to glorify God. There's going to be stuff all day long that you're going to be put into. And a lot of them, what happens to me is when they're done and over with and I'm laying home, I think, crap, I missed that one. Crap, I missed that one. But the good thing is you're noticing what's going on. You're noticing those opportunities. So next time when you get that challenge put in front of you, you can know what to do with it. So, His body. What do we take from that? Him sacrificing His body for us. Who likes this? Oh, come on. Anybody like some big white nasty things you can pop and squirt over here? Huh? What about I'm too fat? I'm too short. I don't like my hair. Hey, pay attention. Right? Do you know that we're in heaven when it's pure? So are your bodies. You're perfect. No more sickness. No more coughing. No more headaches. No more earaches. No more zits. No more problems at all. Your body will be perfect. But guess what? Guess what Jesus is going to do? He sacrificed Himself for you. And guess what else? When we're all up there perfect, guess what Jesus is still going to have? He's going to have the holes. So it's our reminder of, I can glorify Him. Even when I'm in heaven, the glorification is not going to stop. He's going to be a constant reminder of what he did on this earth and went through and hanging on that cross. But he did it for us so that we can spend eternity together. So, we've got a couple minutes left. So his life, he gave up his life so that you could have eternity in heaven. Like I said before, there's no sitting on the fence. There's the lake of fire, and there's being in the presence of Jesus in heaven. There's no in between. You can't say, I'm going to go visit Zach up in heaven, but then I'll go back down to hell and I'll hang out there for a little bit. There ain't none of that. There's a separation. It's a choice. It's either one or the other. Keaton said, no one comes, I think he was talking about, no one comes through the Father except through me. That's what Jesus means. That's what that verse means. His life is connecting the dots, is bridging that gap. That's what it was. So, our next class, we're going to look at the perfect answer. To say, okay, let's take all this and let's just, why is Jesus the perfect answer? So we'll wrap it up with that. I think it is dinner time.